It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. We have got 13 minutes to go ahead of the close on this first trading day of September. Stocks have paired losses. NASDAQ is higher. It is up 8 points now, advancing 0.2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, which had been down 105 points, now lower by 2 points. Little change there. The S&P 500 index down 2 points, a drop of 0.1%. The 10-year up 5/32 with a yield there of 1.56%. Gold up 6.20 the ounce to 13.14, a gain of 0.5%. And crude oil, West Texas Intermediate, down $1.18 a barrel, 43.52, a drop today of 2.6%. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Kathleen Hayes on Bloomberg Radio.
I'm Kathleen Hayes. My co-host Pim Fox on vacation. Poor Pim, he's not live here with me at the 2016 U.S. Tennis Open. Flushing Meadows, Corona Park, Queens. Love coming out here every year for many reasons. It's an exciting event. Tennis has become quite a passion, having come out here so many times. And also the interesting people that show up, not just tennis players or people like Nick Bilateri, who is one of the people who really created this whole tradition and business of coaching great champion tennis players. It's the people who come from places like Cumberland Advisors, people who love the markets and also love tennis just like we do. We're very happy to welcome back to our special U.S. Open show, John Musso, Executive Vice President, Director of Fixed Income at Cumberland Advisors. Welcome back.
Kathleen, it's great to be here.
And it's not raining on us now.
It stopped raining, so all things are going to be going a little while.
I think we're going to ask our boss for a retractable roof for our tennis broadcast out here.
Or at least 3 more feet of roof.
There you go, 3 more feet of roof. Well, let's get to the bond market. You know, we got the weaker ISM manufacturing report today. We've got the big jobs report tomorrow. I think the markets, everybody kind of shrugged off ISM because the focus is so strong on jobs. For the bond market, okay, which has been in a very tight range, still a lot of people bullish, though, waiting to rally more if the economy looks weak, vulnerable maybe to a strong. What's the bond market looking for?
I think the bond market is looking really at two things, Kathleen. It is looking at the fact that there is strength here. We've seen it in better wage numbers, better labor participation rate, slow growth, dropping unemployment. And if you look since the end of June, it would reflect that. The 30-year bond is essentially where it is, maybe a basis point lower. Every other point in the bond market is actually a little higher, not dramatically higher, but higher since the end of June. So I think we're expecting the Fed to raise rates at least once, and maybe the lunatic fringe out there maybe even twice.
The lunatic fringe. So what kind of report tomorrow? With the Bloomberg Consensus Survey is for 177,000. The previous month was like 252,000. The one before that, 294. But then the May report was very weak. So what kind of number would make bond traders like buy bonds like crazy because it wasn't strong enough, or just start selling off because it's too strong?
I think unless you get an exceptionally weak number, I think you're just going to see more of the same. Range-bound, slow drift up in short-term rates. And remember, there's other things pointing in the short-term interest rate market as you head into the middle of October and the change in net asset value pricing of money market funds. That has the short-term bond market a little off.
Okay. Now, when you look at who's buying bonds right now, we know a lot of global investors, because when they look at their own sovereign bonds, their own government bonds, their yields are lower than here, or they're even negative. Is that going to continue?
I think we're bottoming out. I think people have seen some of the dangers of negative interest rates, not necessarily here in the U.S., but if you looked in Japan and went back about a month ago, a little less than a month ago, you had a small period of about 7 days where the 30-year government bond rose from 0.05 to 0.45. That doesn't sound like much, but your durations are so long at those low levels that the change in the price was about 12 points. There's a lot of volatility there at very low interest rates, and I think that's scared some people, and I think you've seen rates rise a little bit since then.
Is this going to be a world, though? Let's say we know the Federal Reserve will probably raise rates. We don't know. That's what it sounds like, though. One interest rate increase, as you said, most likely one. A lot of people are saying December. But they hiked one rates once a year ago. I mean, the pace so far, when they talk about gradual, if we get one interest rate increase a year, that's the most gradualist path I've ever seen in my life.
One of the points that you can make is the fact that here you are with a 10-year government bond at a little over 1.5, and yet a core, trailing core CPI, that's about 2.2. And it went above 2% a few months ago and has stayed stubbornly there. Unless there's forces that start forcing inflation down, you know that if you're in a Fed hike cycle, whether it's slow or medium, eventually some longer-term rates rise to reflect where inflation actually is.
So what's the strategy right now at Cumberland Advisors? John Musso, you've been doing this for many years. You have clients who want you to make money for them. A lot of them are investing in bonds. What's the bond strategy right now?
The bond strategy at Cumberland is we have, for the first time in a few years, started to rein in duration, take some profits off the table. We do it with a barbell strategy where we own some longer securities and shorter securities. I just made mention the long-term yields haven't really moved much. That's really been an anchor point. And the idea is to have more ammunition. This isn't a prediction, but one thing that might keep us up at night when we saw what happened with the Japanese bond market, if you looked at all the developed bond markets, Germany, France, England, U.S., Japan, if they all caught a cold at once, it would not be a pretty trade.
Certainly wouldn't. When you think of what's the biggest risk right now, the outlook, the U.K. data came in surprisingly strong today. We've had a number of numbers. You keep waiting for Brexit to, oh, no confidence, we're not going to buy anything, we're not going to invest in anything. And instead, they're holding up quite nicely. What is the risk right now to the outlook?
I think the risk is, if you're talking about Britain specifically, it is less than that forecast by a lot of people. I like to think of what's gone on in Britain as they voted to go from full country club membership to a social membership. And I think economically they're going to be okay. Might be a little bit of a downdraft, but they will be fine.
Are you guys watching the BOJ, Bank of Japan, whether or not it stimulates more right now? It seems like the Bank of Japan's profile and among investors has gotten a lot higher as people wait to see, boy, they're going to make their negative rates more negative. Are they going to buy more ETFs, hold more equities?
I think if they're going to go on a route of more stimulus, you're going to see them buy more things other than bonds. So think about REITs, think about ETFs, think about the S&P in this country. And I think that's their route. I think they've seen some of the volatility of zero interest rates, and I think they're going to level off on the bond side already.
What keeps you up most at night, John?
Specifically on the municipal side, you worry about pensions. We see some slow progress, but it is slow. Specifically, you look at things that are going on in the Gulf of Mexico with the storm, and you worry about municipalities' preparedness. You look at a state like Louisiana where they're already battling problems from the floods. Financially, they're in tough shape because of the drop in the price of oil and the fact they got rid of a $1 billion budget surplus. And you hope that you don't look at, as you go into the end of the hurricane season, they get hit with a Category 3 or 4 hurricane, which could really cause damage for a state that's not financially prepared.
Well, certainly here for the U.S. Tennis Association, they've done a terrific job financing all this expansion they're doing. The big one this year, the star, is this retractable roof, which Rafa Nadal used last night. Andy Murray. They easily sold all the finance they needed to do that. What about the importance of the U.S. Open to you as a tennis fan? You know, what it means to you as someone who's watched tennis forever? And
I've been coming for 35 years. I started coming when I was about 24 years old. It is a great thing, not only for the New York area, but for tennis fans in the United States. It is our national championship. But it is a particularly New York event. And they've embraced that. And every year they make it better without having to be asked to make it better. This year it's the roof, and it's the new brand new grandstand, a fabulous place to watch tennis. And so I think the net result is as you go forward the next few years, you're going to see 2,000 to 7,000 or 8,000 more fans a day coming in here. And if that promotes the growth of tennis nationwide, so much the better.
Would you buy more bonds to finance out here if you were advising your clients? Is that where your love for tennis stops?
No. It's funny because you can distinguish. We're not a big fans of stadiums and arena bonds that are backed because a lot of times the public is paying for them. Here, if you look time, the last time they financed the Arthur Ashe Stadium, which is really 20 years ago, they did it with bonds that were insured, and they were backed by future television revenues. They could do that again if you put another roof on what will become the new Louis Armstrong. So, if you look at the growth numbers here, you would like the coverage ratios it would provide.
Okay, final question. Who are you rooting for on the men's side?
On the men's side, I think you're going to see Stan Wawrinka.
Wow.
He's got two majors under his belt, and he'd like to have a U.S. Open. And on the women's side, I think you're going to see Angela Kerber
back.
That'll nail her second major for the year.
Wow, beating Serena.
Correct.
All right. John Musso, thanks so much.
Thanks, Kathleen. It's
talking
great to
bonds,
be here.
Talking Fed, talking jobs report, talking about how very efficient this U.S. Tennis Association has been with its financing using municipal bonds, which, of course, Cumberland Advisors is very well known for their investments and management of municipal bond funds and money for so, so many years. John Musso, thank you for joining us. He is Director of Fixed Income at Cumberland Advisors. I'm Kathleen Hayes, live at the U.S. Open, and this is Bloomberg.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.